Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and who shot Gary Milius? He's the owner of Ohika Castle. Maybe you know that high-end hotel and wedding venue in Huntington. The politically connected developer was shot in the head in broad daylight on the grounds of the castle, where he also lives. He survived, but the gunman, police say a masked gunman, is on the loose, and nobody seems to have any idea who done it. My next guest will help us unpack this mystery as much as he can by explaining the many friends and some potential enemies of Gary Milius. Paul LaRocco is a reporter for Newsday who covers county government. Hi, Paul. Welcome to WNYC.
Oh, hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So first, before we talk about who shot Gary Milius, let's talk about who is Gary Milius. Most of our listeners don't know this name until now. You profiled him back in December for Newsday. What's his claim to fame?
Well, basically, he describes himself as someone who came up, a guy from the streets, raised in Queens, grew up in Nassau County mostly, and, you know, he acknowledges that when he was younger, he got into some trouble, had some arrests in his teens and early 20s, but by the time he was in his 30s, he was known to, local power players, attorneys for police unions, people like that, and he got into real estate, and he bought some buildings, had some success with office buildings in Nassau County, and in the mid-80s, he bought the Ohika Castle, and it was in disrepair, and according to him, he put millions and millions of dollars into it, and mostly through that, became someone who had the ear, of most politicians on Long Island, and has been pumping money into their campaigns for many years now.
His friends and family are coming off in the press as totally shocked and caught off guard that anybody would shoot Gary Milius. Are they full of it?
I mean, you know, that's not really for me to say. I mean, the thing is that, you know, anyone, the human nature, when something like this happens to someone so prominent, you're going to look at the aspects of his life that are out there. And, you know, what we have now is you kind of have two aspects that sometimes kind of blend, but for the most part, you have the political aspect in which he's, very friendly with people of all parties, the county executives of both parties. They visit him in the hospital. Former Republican Senator Al D'Amato is a close friend, a card buddy. He's influential in the Independence Party in Nassau County, which, there's always fights for their endorsements because it could swing county elections. And so you have that aspect. And then you have the business aspect. Some of my colleagues on the business desk have reported that, he's faced some financial difficulties with Ohika. It has had to negotiate a modification of the mortgage loan there, recently received an extension. He's disputed some of the numbers that commercial business firms are reporting in terms of the valuation of the property and the value and just how much money it actually makes. So you have those two aspects, and people are obviously going to wonder whether or not either of those or both played a factor.
Right. Maybe he had money issues that made the wrong people angry. Who knows? And in the profile of Milius that you wrote last December, you told the readers that he thinks he has minimal influence on politics, despite all the connections that you just listed. You're laughing. So what do you think he's after politically? Why does he have his fingers in apparently the Republican, the Democratic, and the Independence Party?
Well, I mean, even, most people, friends and foes, say that, he tends to be more a, quote, social animal than a political animal, meaning he may just enjoy the access, even if he's not using it. And, certain people would dispute whether or not he is using it. But, no one disputes that he's a social guy. He likes having people over for card games, for to smoke cigars. He hosts fundraisers at Ohika. He was on stage with the Nassau County executive when he was sworn in for a new term in January. He just seems to be a guy. He's very gregarious. You meet him in person. He's kind of like a backslapping kind of guy. And I think people like that. The politicians seem to like that, and he seems to like having these people very close to him.
Explain to our listeners who don't know the significance of Ohika Castle. What kind of place is it, and what's its place in Long Island culture?
Well, basically, in the during the 20s, Gilded Age, Otto Kahn owned it. He was into finance and philanthropy, and he threw lavish parties. It's supposedly a 127 room estate at one point. It may have been the second largest private residence in the country, as well as at one point. And since he's put it back into kind of the place where it came from. It now hosts weddings, celebrity weddings. One of the Jonas Brothers got married there. Anthony Weiner got married there, and then Bill Clinton officiated a few years ago. They filmed some television shows there and such. And it seems to be a place where just everyone wants to say they've been to at some point, or at least seen it and seen the grounds. It is a gated a gated property, and as you probably have seen in this case, he appeared to be shot on a back or side entrance of the property, which may or may not have the same level of security that the front entrance did.
Did they shoot Citizen Kane there?
I did read that, and I forgive me, because I can't confirm that independently, but I do believe that was something that I had heard at one point.
Rosebud. So since a shooting like this is a highly unusual occurrence in an affluent area, like exactly right there, most people are fairly certain Melius was targeted, that it wasn't just a robbery gone awry. It seems like he's got a lot of friends. He's got enemies, too. With your knowledge and understanding, and I realize nobody knows who done it or why they done it, do you have a best guess?
I don't. I mean, people may want to move to the business side, to the political side, but the police aren't really saying, what they're not kind of tipping their hand, at least publicly, to one side or the other. The disputes he was in politically, at least, wouldn't seem on the surface to rise to the level where anyone would ever do this. But, this is the intrigue in all this, is finding out, what happened and certainly where this goes.
How's he doing? What's the latest word?
We hear that he's alert. He's joking. Kind of his, the friends of his and family members of his say that he's, kind of getting back to his old self. He was a little out of it the day it happened, a little hazy. The police said that his recollection wasn't great. But from what we're hearing, he's hosting at least the close friends and family who are allowed to visit him, kind of cracking jokes in the style that he usually does. People think that perhaps in a matter of days he could be released.
It's pretty amazing, actually, that you could get shot in the face and survive in such good shape.
Certainly. And I think mostly everyone agrees that he was very fortunate in this case. Seems that he was shot through the closed window of his car, and several shots may have been fired. And one of the bullets obviously did at some point enter his head, but perhaps did not penetrate the skull.
Wow. What happened late last year with the former Nassau Police Commissioner, Thomas Dale, Nassau County Police Commissioner? There's some strange story there involving him and Gary Melius, right?
There is. In October of last year, Melius picked up the phone and called Dale, the commissioner, and wanted to get the police department to lodge a perjury charge against a witness in an election case. This election case had to do with a third-party candidacy for county executive that some people speculated was essentially put up to hurt the Democrat in the race by siphoning votes. Now, everyone involved in that denied that. And Gary Melius denied that. He was the sole contributor to this third-party campaign, and there was a dispute in court over the validity of some signatures to get this candidate on the ballot. So the campaign wanted to lodge a perjury charge against a witness who was questioning the validity of the process that they went to get some of these signatures, and apparently did call the commissioner. According to an investigation by the district attorney's office, the commissioner then directed police, even though they did not charge this witness with perjury, this person had an outstanding misdemeanor warrant, and the police at some point shortly after pulled him off a county bus and arrested him on this outstanding warrant. And the DA's office found that this was an improper process, but neither Melius nor the police commissioner were charged with the crime, although the county executive did essentially force the resignation of the police commissioner right after that.
Complicated and hardball politics, but not necessarily the stuff that murder attempts are made of.
Exactly. And you know, no one is coming out and connecting the two at this point. And, you know, the party chairman of the NASA Democrats, who is highly critical of this case, you know, he's had a dispute with Gary going back several years. But, you know, talking to him the other day, you know, he says the authorities, you know, haven't even contacted him. And you know, he wishes Gary a full recovery.
And there we have to leave it with Paul LaRocco, reporter who covers county government for Newsday. Who shot Gary Melius? Mystery as of now unsolved. Paul, thanks a lot.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Coming up on the Leonard Lopate Show right after the news, actress Rosie Perez and more. Brian Lehrer, talk to you tomorrow.